Blog Talk Radio.
I wish I had some real folk in the house tonight who say, I don't always feel like lifting my hand. I want to teach you a real simple song tonight. My brother, Elder Eugene Brown, is going to sing it for us. Simply says,
we all have the song.
Tonight,
Lord,
you're so worthy. promoted spontaneously, come on, without any outside stimulus. We are her. We are her. We won't forsake our responsibility.
We offer the sacrifice of praise. When you offer something, that means you're giving it willingly. You're giving it not grudgingly, but you're giving it cheerfully. And I don't know about you, but I don't know how many can offer up a sacrifice of praise right now, because God has been good. He has been yet still good, blessing us, keeping us and protecting us. So I willingly offer that sacrifice of praise to who he is, because he didn't have to, but yet and still he continues to keep doing that. It is worth the praise right now. How many people can just give God a hand clap of praise right now and just thank him because he is yet still keeping us? And I have to say that because I live in Wisconsin, and if you have been watching the national news, I don't care whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, I don't care if you're our neighbor in Illinois, if you come to Wisconsin, your state is already telling you, you come back from Wisconsin, you need to quarantine, because our numbers are just so high. We're at 8,000 cases per day when it comes to COVID. But yet I thank and praise God that he has kept me another day to be able to come on this broadcast and be able to witness and minister and fellowship with my family. I don't take it lightly. I cannot take each day for granted anymore. We shouldn't before, but we got a little bit lax and we got a little bit complacent on the things of God. And now this opportunity to be able to offer God everything, our praise, our worship, our time, and just give it to him, not because we're fearful, or not because we don't want the COVID, but just because of who he is. That's it. That's our reason enough. Amen. So I thank and praise God for each and every one of you. I am Pastor Valoris, also known as Pastor V, coming to you on Women Speak Now on this evening. As you can tell, I'm still bubbling over just from a lot of things that God has just been doing in my life. And I am so glad to be with you again, family, on this evening. I thank and bless God for Pastor E, the Now Network, and all the listeners and all the faithful listeners that tune in to this broadcast. God has just been good and amazing. Well, I don't want to hold you long, and I say that, and then Pastor E and Minister Terry and all them will get on here, and we'll be on this phone at 10 o'clock tonight. But I won't hold you long. They might. But I have a fresh word from the Lord. I was talking with a friend on today, and at first I didn't have anything. And when they asked me, they was like, what you going to talk about? I said, I always just wait on God to give me something. And as they were talking, this what I just said kind of dropped in my spirit from a conversation that we were having. And when they had said, he's waiting on you, the spirit began to bubble on the inside, and I began to just see visions and pictures of times that Jesus waited on me. Amen. And we're going to get into that. So our topic for today is, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. And you might say, well, Pastor V, I don't know why he's waiting on me. I done already gave my life to God. I done already gave my life to Christ and all that. But, baby, there's yet still more. There's more that he wants us to give. There's more that he wants us to submit to him. There's more cares that he wants us to cast upon him. There's more that he wants us just to sacrifice and submit to him. Surrender is the word I'm looking for. And so he's waiting on you. We're going to go to John chapter 4, verse 4. And I'm playing with my microphone, so I hope everyone can hear me because I got to drop it a little bit. John chapter 4, verse 4 is where we're going to be coming from. And I would like for you to put on your spiritual imagination with me and see this how I see it when it comes to this familiar passage of Scripture. John 4, verses 4, starting at verse 4. John chapter 4, starting at verse 4. It says, "Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food." So let me stop there for a moment. So if we look at verse 4, it said that he needed to go through Samaria, and he was already at this well when the woman came. So can you just picture that for a moment? So understand that they didn't meet at the same time. So it wasn't like, you know, she was walking and Jesus was walking and they just happened to meet there at the same time and was like, "Hey, how you doing?" Jesus was already there. He had already positioned himself by this well that he already knew that this woman would be coming to. Okay, so we all know the story about this woman, but what I want to talk about is that position that Jesus took. Okay, it was just not to talk about the water. Jesus knew who he was there for and the purpose he was there for this woman. So we already know he knew who he was there for, and he already understood the purpose he was there for. But it was to get, but he had to position himself at a place where he knew she would come. It could have been nothing for Jesus to walk into town and go find this woman, but he knew that she was going to be coming to this well. Okay, so just picture that for me: Jesus chilling at the well, already in position, already knew that she was going to be coming, and he was there for a purpose. But he wasn't there just to talk about water. He was there to change her thinking, and I'm going to give you 2 points on that in a minute. But Jesus positioned himself in a place or at a place that he knew that she had to come to. Okay. So now let me switch it to you. Do you remember back to the place where you first met Jesus? Can you remember that? Do you remember the first time that you really truly met Jesus, not heard about him, not, you know, being drugged to church and, you know, with your mom and father and you know, the music was good and you heard the name Jesus? I'm talking about the day you met him. Where were you at the day that you met Jesus? Because he was already at that place, positioned and waiting on you. He positioned himself right where he knew you would come to. See it. Okay, so I know many, it was church. You know, the old song said, I went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right. Something got a hold of me. Okay, so it might have been at a church meeting. It might have been on a Sunday morning. It might have been a Friday night. It might have been at a revival. Okay, but what I need you to first understand, for those that met Jesus at church, I need you to understand he had already taken position at that church on that particular day just for you. I don't care about who else was in the line and who else got saved. He knew you were going to be there, and he positioned himself just for you. But I also want to talk to those that met Jesus in a place that you never thought that he would even position himself there for you to meet him. I've heard stories of people finding Jesus in the crack house. or I heard them talking about how they were sitting on a bar stool and they heard his voice. Do you not know that he sat there in that bar waiting on you to come, sat there in that crack house waiting on you to come because there was something that he had that he needed to do in your life? I won't forget. Listen, I was going to tell you, I remember getting high, smoking weed, and all of a sudden, because I grew up in church, I would all of a sudden little church songs would start playing in the back of my mind, in my head, or Bible verses, because when we was in Lutheran school, we had to recite the whole, we used to call it cantata, which is the whole Christmas story. And all of a sudden, I could be high, and, you know, what we used to say, you know, blow my high. But it would blow my high that because I could start reciting the whole chapter in the Bible of the Christmas story. Or I would start singing songs out of nowhere. We had this one gospel song that we learned in a Lutheran church called Jesus Is Mine. And, boy, we used to rock and tear up that song. And that song would start to, you know, bubble on the inside. Jesus was meeting me where I was. I remember a time, too, when I don't remember if y'all remember Preacher's Wife, the movie, when it came out, and Whitney Houston had that gospel CD and had, you know, the joy, God's great joy and all that on there. I would have just gotten finished snorting cocaine and put on that CD and have church by myself high. But Jesus, he always was there. He was waiting on me. And so, therefore, I don't never want you to not think that the unorthodox places that you met Jesus was of any happenstance or just, you know, just happened to happen like that or, you know, something, you know, mystical. No, he was waiting on you. Even in your mess, even in your situations, even wherever you was, whether you was in a church, crack house, in the street, gang banging, running from a bullet, wherever, he was there waiting on you. Isn't that praiseworthy? Because when I look back at it, he didn't wait for me to come to the church. He didn't wait for some of us to come to the church. He said, you know what? Valoris is going to be on the corner of Locust and Center at this little bar called BJ's Bar. And guess what? I'm going to sit right there and I'm going to wait for her. Because she belongs to me or he belongs to me and she don't know it yet, but I need to meet her where she is. I need to meet him where he is. Because that is the only way that they're going to know that it's me because I'm in a place that they would never thought that I would come to. I love the scripture when he said, you know, if you go to heaven, I'm there. If you make your bed in hell, I'm there. He said, I don't care where you are. I'm going to be where? There. All right. So he's waiting on you. And for many of you, he's waiting to meet you in a place, again, that you never thought that he would be. And so the first reason that Jesus had to meet her where she was, okay, we're going to go to verse 11. I'm going to go down to verse 11. But I'm hoping that you're following me because I can visualize this because I guess I got my own story in mind, and I want you to have your story in mind. It might not look like, you know, my story, but I need you to understand the power of him waiting on you and being at a place for you to meet him and who he was and introduce himself to you. Out of, I don't know how many people, what, it's about 8 billion or more people on the world, and he took time to meet you right where you were. And you think that we don't owe him our life? You think we don't owe him the sacrifice of our praise? You think that he's not worthy of what it is that, you know, for us to serve him? So the first reason that Jesus had to meet her and the first reason that he had to meet you and wait on you was to change her religious thinking. Verse 11 says, this is the woman speaking. She says, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Here comes then the religious thinking. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself? And did also his sons and his livestock? So there was her religious thinking as far as this is what I've been taught, this is what I've been trained, this is what I've been told, and now you want to come and you want to try to change my thinking on what I've been taught all this time, on what the Baptist taught me, what the Kojic taught me, the Pentecostal, the Lutheran, or anything else. You want to come in and change my thinking because I was told that I needed to be in church, down at the altar, on my knees, saying Jesus, 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 on the morning bench with all the mothers over me until I get it. But you're telling me that I can get him right here in my house. You're telling me that I can get him right here at my job. You're telling me that I can get you right here in the crack house or in the bar or, you know, whatever, in the pimp house or whatever the case may be. You're telling me that I don't have to follow tradition in order to know who you are. She said, are you greater than him who drank from this well? Like, he not only just built it, but he also drank from it. Him, his sons, and his livestock. She kind of was bold in that statement, don't you think? This is Jacob's well. Are you greater than him? And so the thing is, let me put a praise right there. The well gives water to the animals, but Jesus gives water to people. Basically, he's saying, okay, that's all and good, but I'm trying to give you something that Jacob couldn't give you. I'm waiting on you to come to me because there is something that I want to give you, and there's something that I want to change in you, and the first thing I need you to do is change your thinking. I need to change who you even think that I am. Because she goes on, let me pull that up. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks from this will thirst again. Then she goes on, verse 15, and says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and keep having to come here to draw. He told her, go call your husband and come back. But anyway, he was also told her further down, he said, I am he. I am that well. So he's trying to give you, he's waiting on you because, again, he wants you to even change your thinking on who he is. Remember, you know, most people only know the Jesus that they know that their mama taught them or their grandmama taught them or the church taught them. But do you know Jesus for yourself? Do you truly know him as a healer? I don't care what the doctor's report is. Do you really know him as a healer? Do you really know him as a way maker? Can you remember that situation that you was in that you did not see a way out, but he came through, and he came through by using other people or however, but he came through. Do you know him as a mind regulator? Have you ever lost your mind? Have you ever been so confused and frustrated that you didn't know which way to turn, but he came in and gave you peace in your mind? Do you know him as a heart fixer? Has it ever been broken, torn down, walked on, stepped on, left for dead? Do you know him? He's saying, I need to change your thinking on all this religious stuff on who man say that I am. I need to know, who do you say that I am? Because the one thing, as Jesus, I'm going to meet you where you are. And if I meet you right here, if I meet you right, you could be sitting at your desk right now, and you could have all the bills in front of you, and you're sitting there trying to figure out how you're going to pay these bills. But Jesus is sitting right there with you, and he's trying to help you to figure out. He said, I am the best financial advisor you could ever have, but I'm waiting on you to know me. I'm waiting on you to sacrifice. I'm waiting on you to surrender. I'm waiting on you to stop fighting. I'm waiting on you to make me the choice of your life. You might be laying in your hospital bed right now. He's still waiting on you. And the one thing is, and I was talking to a young lady on yesterday, and I loved how she said that when she was fighting COVID, that when she chose to fight, that's when she saw Jesus and all the angels surrounding her bed. And I said to her, I said, the thing is that most people feel that they or think that they have surrendered all. They think that they have really chosen to trust God. They think that they really have laid it all out. But it's not until you lay it that you surrender everything and don't even try to figure it out. You don't even try to even ask the why, the when, the how, the this, the that. You really, truly release it, give it to him, and not even think about what the outcome is going to be. That's total surrender and total trust. She said, when I chose to fight, that's when she saw Jesus at the foot of her bed and the angels. He's waiting on you. He was there the whole time in her room. He was there, you know, with her. But when she made that choice, then he was able to reveal himself as a COVID healer. You have to understand that the waiting, Jesus, the waiting part that he's doing is for you, again, to submit it all to him. Because we know in the story, she goes on and say, you know, go get your husband. I don't have no husband. I know you said, well, you have five husbands, and the one you got is ain't yours now. She laid it all out. She laid out her truth. Like, I'm not, you she could have been like, okay, I'm finna go get him, and left and came back with somebody. She, you know, hey, be my husband for a minute. I need to go back and see what this man is talking about. No, I'm finna lay out my truth. I don't have a husband, and no, I don't. And when he said that to her, that was just like what the baby girl said. Then all of a sudden she could see that I'm not just talking to a man anymore. I'm actually talking to Jesus. I'm waiting to reveal my identity to you. I'm waiting to change that religious thinking that you have, that traditional thinking that you have. I'm waiting to show you miracles, signs, and wonders. What they say, eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. I'm waiting to show you the impossible. I'm waiting to do the miraculous in your life. I'm waiting to do this, but I still got to wait on you. The next thing is, are y'all with me? The second thing is, he was there to change her thinking about herself. The first thing he did was hit her in the religious area, in the traditional area.
We are with
but
you.
Now, but now he has to change her thinking about herself. And I got ahead of myself when I got to that next scripture because, again, he's waiting to change someone's thinking about how you feel about yourself, how you feel about the situation. He's not just waiting just to say hello. He's waiting on you to give you what you've been looking for. He's waiting on you to give you what you've been missing. He's waiting on you to give you what you need. He's, my God, he's waiting on you. You have been praying and praying and praying and praying, but you have to remember the answer only comes and is revealed when you surrender. It don't just come, oh, Jesus, I'm about to run. It don't just come because you pray. It comes when you pray and surrender. They always say, don't pray and pick it back up. But how many do that? My hand is raised. Wait, both my hands are raised. Wait, let me raise both my legs. Sometimes I pray and I go back and pick it up. I don't. I be done said amen and then turned around and picked it up back up. Because I need to figure it out. I need to work it out. I need to know how this is going to happen. I need to know, you know, is it going to come this way? Is it going to come that way? And how long is it going to take? Is that coming by UPS, FedEx, or by Uber, Jesus? I need to, you know, your mind starts to wonder and work and try to figure it out. And he's like, I was on my way, but until you let go, can I really show up and reveal who I am? Is it hard to do? Yes, it is. Is he punishing you for that? No. I'm not saying Jesus is punishing you for that, but if you want more of him and if you want more of what it is that he can do for that situation, I need you to get to him. I need you to really get to him. Really get to him, not just with your lips. Get to him with your heart. Get to him with your mind. Get to him by laying prostrate in your praise and in your worship. Get to him. Hey, God, everybody. And don't get up until you find him. But you ain't got to look far, because guess what? He's waiting on you. He's right there in your living room. He's right there in your bedroom. He's right there in your kitchen. He's right there in your car. He's right there on your job. He's right there wherever you are. All you got to do is say, listen, hey, God, I like what that man said. He said, listen, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. His unbelief, you're like, how can I believe and unbelief at the same time? It was the unbelief is my mind keeps wondering. My mind keeps doubting. My mind keeps trying to figure it out. My mind keeps wanting to see the outcome. My mind keeps, I believe, but help me to keep my hands off of it. Ooh, that's what we really need to say. I believe, and help me to keep my mouth off it. I believe, help me to keep my mind off it. I believe, help me to stay away from it. I believe, but help that part of me that keeps on. Whew. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to surrender it all. I was talking to God. Started last week, and I do apologize, God, because we're supposed to be in our own little series of Him teaching me what love is, and I'm talking about His love. And you hear sermons and you study, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But how many people have really received that down in your soul? Because, again, we try to put God's love like man's love or woman's love, especially a father's love. And I had to go to God and I said, you know, I know that you love me and I know that you've been there for me, but I really need you to teach me and really show me what is that love that you have for me? What the angels even said. Listen, I'm going to put my name in it. I need you to put your name. The angels are saying, God, who is Valoris that you is so mindful of her? That girl is a mess, toe up from the flow up, disobedient, rebellious, won't listen. That child runs wild. She drinks, she smokes, she fornicates, she this. Who is she that you just keep loving her the way you do? I know that had to hit somebody else's soul like it hit mine. And I said, God, teach me what that kind of unconditional love really is. Take out what I know love to be, and I just want to see your love, because if I learn your love, then I can understand what love is out here for real among men in the earth. Because without the understanding of His love, can you love?
Well, we're going to run on that one. And everybody's like, oh, we got to love everybody. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with Christ and all the angels and the heavenly hosts. I love you. I love you. Do you really? Because you really don't love me if you don't understand the love of God. And the way that I can understand that you understand the love of God is all I got to do is look at your life. Have you really received His love? Because love
is not a feeling. One thing that he has said the second day of him and I going over this, he said, love is not a feeling. It's a no. You just know that I do. Because there's days that you're not going to feel me. There's days you're not going to hear me. There's days you're not going to see me. So you just got to know that you know that you know. That's a beautiful love when a husband or somebody can ask a husband or wife and be like, how you know that they, you sure they love you? I know my husband loves me. I know my wife loves me. I know my kids love me. I know my mama loves me. They ain't got to say, well, no, I feel my mama loves me. When a person say I feel, that's red flags and question marks. What you mean you feel? Do you know that they love you? How many of y'all can say you know he loves you? That's what I want to understand. So he's waiting on you. So back over to this. He's waiting on you. God is waiting on you to give you what you've been needing, what you've been missing. He's at that well. What is your well right now? Where is your well? Again, is it in your home? Is it in your car? Where is your well right now? Because he's sitting there chilling, waiting on you. Because there's something that he wants to give you that's going to change your whole destiny. He wants to change that traditional thinking of who they say he is, because he wants you to know him for himself. Then he wants to change how you feel about your own self. He wants you to know, I love you. Just as you are now, because I see purpose for you that you ain't going to be like this in the future. You know that woman's life was changed forever. She ran back to that city, and she put on a 5-minute revival, come and see a man that told me all about myself. Her life was changed forever. She didn't have to worry. I don't know if she ever did get married. Who cares? But I know she probably looked at them like, nope, I got this living water in me now. I don't even need you like that no more, bruh or sister. I got Jesus. I got something in my belly that's flowing that brings me joy. I was looking for joy in your arms. I was looking for joy in your bed. I was looking for love in your bed. I was looking for peace. I was looking for comfort. I was looking for an escape. I was looking for it all in the wrong places. But I met a man, and I'm good. He wants to change your life. He just don't want to meet you to do nothing. He wants to change your life. I bless God for the change. Was it easy? No. Did it take a while? Yeah. But why did it take a while? Because Valores was hard-headed? Point blank. Because I was hard-headed. Oh, I'm struggling in the flesh and I'm struggling in the, okay. But there comes a time where that struggle should be over. If you know the love that he has for you and the greater that he wants to give you. You know, that's like, again, it's not that you can work for it, but the only example I can give, you know, that's just like, you know, a child asking for a parent for something. They said, well, you got to bring me A's on this report card first. You still got to do something. You still got to give him something. And all he's asking is for you to believe. Did you know that? He didn't ask you to work. He didn't ask you to do nothing. He didn't ask you to go to church. By the time you get to heaven, I want to see a record that you attended church 375 times. I want you to have then gave $1.5 million in tithes. I want you to have then fed 15 homeless people and this, that, and the other. He said, all I need you to do is just believe. Because he know if I get your heart, I can get your mind. And if I get your mind, you'll change your actions. Y'all know how that works. Once they get your heart, they got your mind. That's all he said. I just need you to believe. Have faith on me. Believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Just believe on him. But that comes with a surrendered heart and mind. That comes with a, you know what, I am nothing without you. Here, you can have it. You can take it. I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to take my mind off it. I don't even want to see it. I don't know. It's yours. He like, about time here. Let me work this out. And before you know it, it's already worked out. So dial one if you want to get in on this conversation. I know it was short and sweet. Man, he is an amazing God. And again, don't think that, oh, well, she's just talking about the ones that are not saved. No, I'm talking about the ones that are saved and know God. He's still waiting on you. There's something that you holding on to that you ain't gave to him. He's waiting on you to get that thing up. There's something you're trying to figure out and plan out in your mind. He wants you to give that plan up. There's something you've been pacing the floor and crying over. He wants you to give it to him and go get some sleep. Man, when I tell you, when I finally learned to go to sleep, you don't even understand. I tell y'all, it'd be fresh off the press. When I tell you, a couple months ago, I had talked to Pastor E. Pastor, you can get in on this and see if anybody dialed one. But I had text Pastor E. I don't remember. I think it was a couple weeks ago. And I told him, I said, I had went into a depression. I was so depressed, I couldn't even sleep. I had insomnia, worried, trying to figure it out, trying to wonder about this, trying to wonder about that. Am I being a good steward over this? Am I doing what you want me to do? What about the church? What about my health? What about the finances? What about the church? What about the ministry? What? I was driving myself crazy. And I was literally depressed. Walking depression is, a functional depressant. I still was functioning. I got up every morning. I went to work. I did all that. But at night, I couldn't sleep. When I finally laid out and cried, I said, listen, you spoke this a long time ago that this is what you wanted me to do. And all I have to do is trust you at your word. So here you go. You can have it back. I'm done with it. I will wait on you to show me what you want me to do. And this over here, I give that to you too. And this over here, I give that to you. You have never left me or forsaken me. You have never left me out there bad. You have never not fed me. You have never not. So I don't know why I'm so worried for it. It ain't been a sickness or illness that you have not brought me through. What am I crying for now? I had to go back in my faith files and said, you brought me from having triple bypass heart surgery. You brought me from having a blood clot in the left side of my neck that I had to lay out for 7 days. You brought me from having a bone infection in my left arm that they thought I had bone cancer and they had to do emergency antibiotics. And you done brought me from 2 back surgeries. You done brought me from, need I keep saying more? All before this surgery that I just had, he had brought me through all that, and I'm sitting up here panicking and losing sleep. The devil is alive. And all the time he was sitting in my room, sitting in my house, waiting on me. And the day I gave it to him, I went to sleep. And ain't nothing like that gonna ever disturb my peace again. So that's why I say I'm not just talking to the ones that's not saved. I'm talking about to anybody and everybody that need to give something to the Lord right now. So dial one if you want to be a part of this conversation. Dial one if you need prayer on this evening, and I will pray with you. Dial one, and Pastor E will bring you in. Pastor E, you there for me, sir? Bless and praise God on this evening. Again, I'm hoping
yes,
that all
I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm just enjoying the word going forward and the transparency and where we all really are sitting. I was just sharing with somebody today. He was like, man, Pastor E, when you gonna do another one of them food giveaways, man? I said, Probably tomorrow. He was like, man, I know I got a job, man. I said, brother, quit. Everybody is in need right now. Everybody's going through something. Everybody's going through we set it up, prophetess, that we put boxes out with different items and people come through with their bag and they're very polite. They don't take the whole box. They go in and get a couple items. Everybody leaves with a full bag. The joy in that. And then just, you know, for him to call me and say, man, that's really helping me. And this is somebody that purchases items from me and stuff for his business. But, you know, it's really not just so much that we all are in need, but we're all going through something and we all have challenges and we all have things going on. But transparency is the best thing, especially when you can speak about it and get it out and not hold it in and then explode on somebody because of a bad day or a bad situation. So you have exposed some things. You have put it out there and made me look at myself deeper and hold myself more accountable. So bless you, bless you, bless you. Anybody else out there want to get in the conversation? We are not going to keep it long tonight. No, we are not. You know, if we get that shabakin going, that we will be here all night, but we're going to be diligent tonight. We know people got to get to work. And we're going to do that. Now, Minister Carolyn dialed one probably halfway through, so I know you said something that shook her. Minister Carolyn, welcome to Women Speak Now with Pastor Valores.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Praise the Lord. Yes,
yes we can.
Minister Carolyn.
Glory to God. Halfway through, 10 seconds after that, 5 seconds after that. I haven't been on for a while, but tonight I seen that you were on, and I said, I'm going to do it. And then I started reading the book, and I'm like, oh, it's almost 7 o'clock, and I looked, it was 6, so I made it in time. I most definitely, God wanted me to hear tonight. I think most definitely you were talking to me. I've experienced God. And I was faithful, and I believed. I had a surgery that was really horrible, and they thought they were going to have to put a colostomy bag on me after the surgery. And they came back in and was like, Ms. Hamilton, I have good news and bad news, and you're not functioning right. You haven't gone to the bathroom. And so the bad news is we're going to have to take you back to surgery tomorrow morning, and we're going to have to cut you back open to put a colostomy bag. And at that point, I was like, that's not an option. But I knew that I was alone. I had just lost both of my parents back to back. And I did not want that. And I shut everything down, and I cut the phone off, and I the TV and everything. And I had to have time enough without the medication, because they gave you the machine where you get to keep pumping it yourself. And I was in pain. But the Holy Spirit said, stop pumping that, because it kept putting me to sleep. And so now I got it, and I shut everything off, and it was one black lady at this hospital, and she was supposed to be off of work the next day, but she heard me, and I closed the door. I had to close, and I screamed, and I yelled, and I'm like, God, I believe you. I have faith, and I don't want this. And long story short, the next morning, the black lady, they sent her in because they knew I was going to give them a problem. And they were like, she said, Ms. Hamilton, I got to prep you. I said, that's not an option. She said, come on, sweetheart, don't give me a problem. She said, I'm supposed to be off, but they left me here to deal with you. And she said, I heard you praying and shouting. She said, I believe in God. Now, this hospital was a Jewish hospital. They didn't believe like we believe, whatever race they were, whatever religion they were. And she said, but I believe. And so she said, but sweetheart, we got to go. You're doing surgery. And I gave her a problem. I said, you know what? I said, I got to walk. I said, can you get me up and walk? And she was like, sweetheart, we got to. I said, the Holy Spirit told me to get up and walk. And she's like, if the Holy Spirit told you that, come on, let's go. And by the time she said, but only around the nursing station. And by the time I went around that nursing station, I looked down there and I said, I have to use the restroom. And she was like, oh, my God. So I beat the surgery. The doctor was like, I don't know what happened. And I'm like, God happened. That's what happened. And when you talk about the person that is already saved and that is struggling and going through, I've been up against it, like up against it. And I'm a recovering addict. It hit me so hard today. It's like I was in here studying for finals from a Bible college, and I got two phone calls where people were disrespecting and calling me you fat, being just, and I'm trying to humble myself and stay professional. And one was a family member, and one was in Pastor E. Yeah, with those two. And I'm like, I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to cuss nobody out today. And when I hung up, I didn't cuss at first, but then they came back with a text and a group text. And I vented for a minute, and then I heard the Holy Spirit say that you're no better than them. You need to delete that, like, right now. And it's like, I deleted it. But I didn't want to. I wanted them to know how I felt, because I help everybody. Yeah. And I don't do nobody no harm. And then when I hung up, that spirit of crack cocaine came. It is like I got the taste all in my mouth. And I was like, what is this? You know, what's going on with me? Like, right now, what is this?
That's him wanting you to go back to find comfort. That's him wanting you to go back and find comfort. Because I've been there before, and I've been there where I, like you said, the taste in my mouth. I remember even one time walking in the house, and I saw a shadow of something, and I thought that it was a liquor bottle, and it was a ketchup bottle. He's always going to be lurking to get you to go back to comfort yourself with what you used to comfort yourself, you know, when you're in pain or struggle or confusion or anything like that. And all you have to do, baby, is just keep on fighting. Like I always tell people, I said, you got to remember that the devil has his demons in all four corners surrounding you, just like the angels are surrounding you, wherever you go, just trying to find ways to enter back in. But you have to find ways to keep them out.
And I'm just, when person said that, if I told you something somebody said to me, it would make you cry. And I told that person, you done said something to me. That made me cry. I said, but everything and how many men I've been married to, how many guys I've been with, how many other people talked about me, I said, but it made me cry for a minute, but everything you dogs have done to me has made me a better woman. It has made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But no sooner than I hung up, the cravings came. And it's like, I feel like I'm losing battles.
God got you, baby.
No, you're not.
Let me help you out with a little something.
Because I don't really get into deeply things that about. I don't talk about testimony. I talk about story. But let me testify right now. There is not a day that the taste, the hunger, and the fast life does not tempt me.
Come on.
With a taste, with a look. You know, I'm in my hood back. And this is something I'm speaking to Minister Carolyn, because we're in our hoods. We back in the places that we grew up, and we used to do bad. We used to do the dope and the hustle and stuff. But there is not a day that I do not. And now I have a invisible. I'm putting you guys into some intimate stuff with me right now. But I have an invisible necklace on me, and it's a globe. A glass globe, and inside that globe is all them 10-hour, 3 days, 8 days in a row, spend up all the money, go rob to get money back to pay the main, and in that bottle, and it's not a day that I don't grab that bottle in remembrance, because God told me, he said, I'm going to bottle it up for you, but in a remembrance to know where you will not go back to.
Right. Yes.
So don't feel alone, because it's not just you. Now,
never.
As we're growing and as we're learning to master our emotions and know that, that we perish for a lack of knowledge, that's when you know that, well, let me just speak for myself. That's when I know I got to go deeper. That's when I know that I'm doing something right. See, my attacks that come now is like a pat on the back. It used to be discouraging, like I hear you right now. Like, why is that taste coming back? Because you used to taste. Why is that old desire coming back? Because you used to desire. That's natural. That's the body. That's the flesh. But when you become victorious, you now know that when it comes, that is an acknowledgement that you're doing something right for God, because now the enemy has a mark on you. When you was on that bus stop, look, when you was on that bus stop, that was not the enemy. That was you. But now that you're on the pulpit, now that's the enemy. Now we wrestle against flesh and, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness in heavenly places. There is a bullseye on you. You should celebrate God right now that you had that taste, because that you didn't. Now, hold on. Let me ask. You didn't go and follow the taste,
exactly.
Did you?
Exactly. That's right.
See, that's where you get victorious. The taste, I showed all about it, but the taste came. It did not fall. Don't you remember back in the day when you get around that stuff, would it be a rumbling in your stomach? You could not get away from it. You get the pooping everywhere. Am I being too transparent?
No, I got you.
You get the pooping everywhere. You all excited. You thought you was done with it, and somebody brought out a gram and said, you want half? Come on now. But the difference is now you know how to say no and go through the – see, I celebrate when those things come. Now, every time I grab that grass ball around my neck, when I'm going down Figueroa, you know, when I'm going down Manchester, when I'm going down 88 and 96 and 57, and I'm grabbing that ball, it's a victory to me, because I'm saying, look, I didn't stop.
And see, the one thing, just like I was saying before, but let me say this, because remember I was saying earlier that he's waiting on you, and I said the first thing that he wants to do is change your traditional thinking.
Yes.
You think that he's not a God that is not there for people that make mistakes or have fleshly desires.
Right.
He's waiting to introduce himself to you as, I'm still that God, even of your thinking. That guy, don't forget that you read it in the Bible. He still was the God of David, even in his mistakes.
Yes.
He still was the God of Samson, even in his mistakes.
Come on.
He still was that guy.
And he's still the God of Carolyn.
He's still a God. I was trying to think of her name real quick. He's still a God of Carolyn, even in her mistakes. Even in your mistakes, one thing that I did, listen, let me tell you, miss, the one thing that I did was I said, I don't care whether I'm living right or I'm living wrong, I still will never give up on God.
Because he won't give up on me.
Because God, he has never given up on me. And on top of that, I still can't do anything without him.
And
so
on top of that,
on my bad days.
On top of that, this is my, one of my children. She a hot mess.
Yeah.
She a hot mess. But she love her some Jesus, and she love helping people because of where she came from. You should know the attack is coming.
Right.
And I want the prophetess, I'm going to call you prophetess tonight, Pastor, but I want the prophetess to speak into your life and to pray for you, because that battle against your flesh has to go. I'm sick and tired of you in the hospital on a surgery. We just
like
talked the day before. It was going to do something.
I put like this,
to be at church
Sunday morning. Let me clean that up, Pastor E.
But look, hold on.
The battle of your flesh, even if it does not go, I need you to learn how to battle it.
Yes.
Understand what I'm saying? Even if it does not go, I need you to learn how to fight it. Because one thing I'm going to tell you, and y'all know I'm transparent, men ain't going nowhere in this earth, baby. And I love men. Yeah. They're not going anywhere. Even with the struggle and the battle, I had to learn to fight it. Because they're not going on anywhere. Cocaine ain't going anywhere. You'll be able to find it if you really wanted to. It's not going anywhere. But you got to learn how to fight it.
Amen.
That's the God that I want people to get and understand is like, listen, remember, you're in this world, but you're not of the world. If you really get and understand what that means that your temptation's still going to be around you, that boo thing's still going to be around you, them drugs mm-hmm. are still going to be around you, people still going to be calling and talking about you. All that is still in the world, but you're not of it. So now you got to learn how to, when that thing comes against you, how to take flight into the heavenly.
You know, it's just so apparent. We need a grown folks talk show, because there's some things that we really need to release and say that we really feel like. Because I know when I said that, don't you remember that bubbling in your stomach and you get the everybody went to like, yeah. That was me too. See, we need real talk kind of stuff like that to know that we're transparent yeah. enough to remember where we came from, but not where I'll never go back to.
That's right.
Exactly.
And build on it, because somebody that God has a purpose for you to encounter is going through the same thing that you have enough strength to tell them, girl, you can get by that. My brother, you can fix that.
So, woman of God, what I do.
Go ahead.
Woman of God, what I speak to you right now is I speak new weapons. Your old ones have, you know, as I say, your armor has kinks in it. So I speak new armor to you now in the name of Jesus. I speak a new helmet Jesus. Of salvation, a new yes. breastplate of righteousness. Yes. I speak a new girdle of truth around your loins. I speak a new shield of faith and a new sword of the spirit. And I speak new shoes of peace upon your feet in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak new, brand new shining armor to come upon you now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Put your hands, Carolyn.
And what I need you to understand and then what I need you to know is that as you're receiving this new armor, as I spoke each and every part of the armor and you begin to take it on, what I need you to understand is that you are a warrior. You are a fighter. I need you to not humble down in some areas. There's some areas that you need to be confident in. When a soldier go to battle, he doesn't go to battle fearful. He goes to battle confident that I have training to be able to snipe you out. I need you to stand in your confidence. I don't care what they saying. I don't care what they said about you. See, that's what kind of got you to back down in standing strong and tall in who you know that you were is because of them and what they said. But what I need you to do is not worried about them and what they said. I need you to know, sweeties, you don't understand who I am in God. If you don't know, just keep watching me. You'll find out. I need you to get a new boldness and a new confidence and a new arrogance about yourself.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We're not walking, baby girl. I'm sensing that you're trying to do that, but yet and still you yes. keep replaying the past.
Yes.
We done with that, baby. We done with that. We can't change nothing of that. But what we're going to do is, like Pastor E said, we're going to use that for our purpose for the future. But we're not going to allow it to define us no more. I don't care how many husbands you done had. Heck, I done had 3. I don't care how many men you done slept with. I ain't finna tell you that number. I don't care how many surgeries you done went through, how many illnesses
and reports you done got.
You know I'm going, what?
You know
Let
I'm
me
feeling,
keep.
I'll throw that out there. You would not even want, I couldn't see if I got to talk in that number. It would be
I don't
amazing.
Care what that number is. This woman at the well, she said, I don't have a husband. He said, you've had 5, and the one you got right now, which means she was already on number 6. In that day and time, that was not heard of. So I need you to understand, I don't care what that number is. I don't care how many crack rocks you done smoke. I don't care about any of that. He doesn't care about any of that. If he don't care about any of it, what are you worried about it for? Let them keep record. Let them keep record on you. And then sometimes when you need that testimony, go back and ask them. So since you keep a record on me, how many times have I done this? And how many? Okay, thank you, because I need to go here and testify to this sister, and I need to tell her, baby, she said that I did that 27 times, and look what God done did for me, and He done brought me out.
And
sometimes you need them haters to keep that record for you, because baby, they the best ones that can testify. What I need you to do, again, God don't care no more. What you caring for?
Yes.
Thank you,
I need you to care about this new life that He done gave you. I don't care. I need you to care about this new chance He done gave you. I need you to care about, hey, you got me up off that bed, so you got me up for a purpose and a reason. I need to care about this new purpose I got.
Jesus.
I care about purpose, not about past.
And get rid of them old numbers. Stop answering.
Lord Jesus.
You got to block some numbers. You got to block some numbers. You got to block some numbers.
I blocked them.
Because if you ain't got nothing good to say to me, I don't want to talk to you. Don't email me. Don't text me. And you know, it's funny now that people don't even want to have a conversation. They want to email and expect a response. Come on, I don't respond that way. I'm a face to face person to person and a confronting person. That don't work for me. I don't even like to text unless it's yes, no, come on, I'm here. Pray for her as we get ready to close this. And look, Minister Terry needs dial one. I know she was on a business conference call tonight, but she still is online. But we ain't even got it going. But go ahead and pray for this broadcast was for Minister Carol.
Father God, in the name of Jesus,
pray for her.
Lord, we come to you. We come to you for Minister Carolyn right now, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, she is fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous is your work in Minister Carolyn, God. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, from the inside and out, you made her, God, and you made her fearfully, and you made her wonderfully. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking right now that you begin to touch her heart, her soul, and her mind. I'm asking that you touch her health, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm asking that you heal her. Lord, I'm asking that you heal every organ, every tissue, every vein, every blood bone, every blood vessel. Lord, everything from the crown of her head to the soul. Heal in the name of Jesus. And Lord, not just heal, I want you to restore it back to its original purpose.
In the name
of Jesus. Lord, then I need you to remove the pain and the memory of her past. Remove it right
Lord.
Now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I need her to see you even in her past. I need her to see that you've been there all the time. You were working on the time. You worked everything out for her good because she was loving you. Lord, you brought her to this expected purpose, even with the past that she has, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, I need you to work that thing out of her.
Now,
I need you, Father. I need her to accept your forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus and accept your love just as she is and who she is. In the mighty name of Jesus, He loves you, baby. He loves you. He's already forgiven you. I need you to forgive yourself.
Jesus.
I need you to forgive those people. I need you to forgive everybody that talked about you, everybody that hated on you. I need you to truly let yourself free. Let it go. Just say, I forgive you. Just say, I forgive you. You don't owe me nothing. Nobody owes me nothing. I forgive you. I'm going on with the Lord. In
right
the
now.
Holy name of Jesus. God, you're going to begin to help her. You're going to begin to help her walk in confidence and move in confidence and speak in confidence and preach in confidence and pray in confidence in the mighty name of Jesus, because the Spirit of the Lord is raising up a new standard in you. In the name of Jesus. You don't need anybody. All you need is Him. No, you're not alone. Yes, He has removed everybody from you, but He's removed them for a purpose, because He wants you to know, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you for me and you, Minister Carolyn, to do this thing. I'm waiting to manifest some things in your life and show you some things in your life. I'm waiting on you so I can totally heal you. I'm waiting on you so I can totally remove that. I'm waiting on you. So, God, we bless you. We bless you, Lord. And it is so and it is done.
I receive.
So you don't realize who you truly are. I've been walking around my living room like I got a boldness and a confidence like roll up on me if you want to. I don't know what kind of attitude you have, but I'm feeling your spirit like you got that roll up on me if you want to kind of attitude. You had it in the streets. I need you to have it for God.
Amen. Amen.
We don't come over here to be weak and wimps when we was big and bad enough to do everything out there in the streets.
Right.
He called you with that already in mind and for a purpose. So I need you to go ahead and get that back.
Huh.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
She ain't lost it. She ain't lost it. She just got a little bit swayed to the left from that negativity. We bind that. Anything that is not uplifting you cannot speak to you ever again. We are calling out the angels that protect you. We are calling out the spirit that holds you, that no weapon formed. That means not a word, not a thought, not a action will ever be formed against you, because we stand here and agree with you. Now, when there are two or three gathered, Jesus agrees too, because he's in the midst. And it's only by the name of Jesus that you will not be defeated. It's only by the name of Jesus that you will not die. It is by the name of Jesus that you will live.
Jesus.
And not tomorrow, right now.
Right now.
Why me to throw something? Y'all going to make me break something in my office. Ooh, Jesus.
When you get off this line, you're going to hear a new song. As soon as you hang up from this line, your heart is going to start singing a new song. I need you just to sing those words. They ain't got a rhyme. They ain't even got to make sense. I just need you to sing what you hear.
Amen.
And write it down so we can make a song.
Okay.
Amen.
I'll sing it for you.
Well,
Carrie,
I truly enjoyed myself
Carrie,
on this
you
evening.
Know, we love you. Yeah, and because you started it, you know, when you bring the word goes forth and it will perform everything that it was intended to do. What's that to do? Bring life and life more abundantly in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I want to put a couple of announcements out there. Now, we are entering into the Thanksgiving week starting Monday. And there's a shortage. Now, you guys know I can get food, and we're going to still get some food. I call all the guaranteed drop-offs, and they've even been held back. There's a shortage on turkeys, so we may be doing chickens this year, but we still need your donations. We're going to feed every family with a hot, full meal. We're doing drive-by drop-offs. We're going to be socially distanced. We're going to be COVID-19 strapped and ready, but we're still going to do our annual P2P swag, men standing, come on, say it for me, men standing up event on Thursday. But then on Monday, we're going to be with Lady Boyd's annual turkey giveaway, and that's going to be at Boyd's Funeral Home. We'll be DJing and also bringing some canned goods and stuff there. You guys, if you know somebody in need of turkeys, I believe she has a warehouse already set. So that's on Monday, November 23rd, from 1 p.m. until. And if you're willing to give to that, you can. But we're looking for still donations for the P2P swag, men standing up giveaway on Thursday, the actual Thanksgiving day. We cook every year. Tell them, Minister Kelly, every year we cook. We prepare the whole meal, and we go drop it off. And normally, it's just me and Minister Curly. We got a team this year. Oh, my God. We're going to do some great things. Fast, we got to cook all the sides of nothing. All I got to do is do the meat.
Yeah.
We got the sides. We got the bread. We got everything going, and it's going to be great, but we still are lacking some things. You guys get involved and help us with this event. And also, don't forget, Christmas is right around the corner, and we love blessing the kids, taking care of the kids, making sure that they have something to be joyful about, because it's hard out there right now. And I don't care what you got, what you've done, and where you've been. Everybody is in need right now of something. Let's help somebody out this season of giving and get ready for the crossover. Go ahead.
Good. And if you're connected to me and you want to know how to give, just inbox me and I'll give you the information on how to give to all that Pastor E is doing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And also,
Pastor,
we are definitely partnering with Pastor Anthony Luckett on his Coke giveaway. We got a box of hoodies right now ready to go. I have another donation person that may be dropping off some stuff tomorrow before we ship it out. But we're also going to be sending some hoodies and stuff to Pastor Valores and Spirit and Truth Ministry and to Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Ann and their endeavors out there. It's cold up there, y'all. I don't go
Wisconsin
in the winter, but I used to live up there. It is cold up in there. We complained about 40-degree weather at 4 a.m. when y'all are talking about below 20 at 11 a.m. Oh, my God.
Yep. Thank you.
Any closing remarks, Minister Carolyn? I thought I heard you say about to say something. Come on in, and then Pastor Valores, tell us what we need to partner with you on, and bless you.
I was just going to say the blankets. When we give the food out on Thursday, we also wanted to give the homeless people blankets. So if they're used, as long as they're clean, folded, and you know, they could use them, then we'll even accept used blankets as long as they're washed, clean, and folded.
Amen.
And that was
it. Because it is cold out here. And those for us that are in a home, I'm clowning. But the temperature has really shifted. There's things happening in California that normally don't happen. And there's a great need. And then even with COVID going on, the lack of services are down tremendously. Yes, God has provided for us to continue to keep going ourselves. And when I say me, I mean Swag. So I don't have to keep saying each name, but we got other partners coming in. And we're still God is still providing that we could do for our community, our city, our state, and then even help out throughout our country. But we need help. We do. And it's hard to ask because normally God is putting us in a position to go like crazy, but sales are down, business is down. Everything is down right now because of this pandemic, but Jesus ain't. Ooh. And if you just get on with that principle, you'll know that he will provide. He does it all the time, but you can help us to make it happen. God bless you guys. Pastor Valores, it's on you. Wonderful word, wonderful discussion. I hope everybody out there, and it's not just us on the line, I guarantee you there is at least, let's see, 47 people on the board, and online there's probably about 100 who listen, they click the click and just listen and don't want to get involved. But if you want to get involved, you always have to call 319-527-6173. Bless you again, woman of God. Pray us out of here and know that you're loved, honored, and appreciated.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for all things, Lord. Thank you and praise you for the word and the prayer that has gone forth, Lord, knowing that it is a seed that has been planted in someone's heart in order to change their mind, in order to bring about change of action. And God, we just ask, Lord, that you begin to water and increase the word in them, Lord, knowing, Lord, help them to remember that you are waiting on them, Lord, that you are waiting on them to change who they know you to be and change, Lord, how they believe in themselves. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord,
yes,
we all need a reminder. We all need a remembrance of who you are sometimes, Lord, because we lose focus. We all need a reminder of who we are in you, oh God, because sometimes, Lord, that the way just seems so hard. So, God, I just need you right now to put a reminder in us that, number one, we are your children. And number two, that you love us and you love us unconditionally. And number three, you never left us and you never forsaken us, oh God. And so for that, God,
thank you.
Just put us back in line, God. Back in order. Lord, I ask that you keep each and every person on this line, Lord. I ask, Lord, from the north to south, the east and the west, that you cover. And, Lord, I'm asking that you protect us not only from COVID but any other disease and any other tactics and schemes that the devil has. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Family, join us tomorrow night for Will You Be Made Whole with Prophetess Lori, and then Saturday. We got a new show coming up. You thought I was going to forget this, didn't you, Mr. Carolyn? Hot Topics. Real Talk is going to sit down for a minute. We're going to talk about some hot topics on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Join us and get blessed.
Hallelujah! If you know that he's a firm foundation, Lord, you're awesome in this.